So, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you again for I'd like to say it's good to see so many familiar faces, but we don't actually see faces on here. You just see ours, so that's unfortunate. But yeah, nice to be talking again, and nice to be back and talking about an area that Brian and I know and love so well and so dearly. Which is around choosing the right managed detection and response technology and service, right? And what matters the most when navigating the today's cyber threat landscape. And obviously delighted to again to have Brian Martin join me. Brian is the for those of you who don't know, Brian is the group director of product management, and I am the group director of solution architecture. And as I mentioned, Brian and I have talked about this for quite a while. It's an area that I've been working in for quite some time, and Brian as well. So we often have many healthy debates in this particular subject. And the only downside today is really that we've only got 3 hours to talk about it. I'm just joking, we've actually just got under one. So Brian's going to kick off. I'm gonna jump in towards the sort of middle to end in terms of talking about some decision criteria and considerations around selecting the right MDR provider. As ever, please ask questions in the chat. Please do jump in. Please be disruptive. Please chuck some curveballs in there. Relevant to the subject matter, please. If we don't get to your questions today, we will endeavour to get back to you after today's session as well. I think that I have covered everything for now, but without further ado, Brian, over to you.
Thank you, Nick. And I'm glad you said healthy debate and not argument, which of course is not.
That was yesterday. Yeah.
So welcome everyone for joining. Thank you for joining this session. We've been, I guess, offering and delivering MDR for quite a number of years now. So it's nice to come back to it and look at the current state of play in the market and in terms of how things are evolving in this space. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about, the state of the market, what is the ultimate challenge that we're trying to solve with this particular service category, look at different types of scenarios for security monitoring and some of the challenges and potential best, preferable approaches to those, how MDR is evolving and what the different spectrum of offerings are. So that'll be my section, and then Nick is going to go into more detail around some decision considerations, pros and cons between different choices, but bring in his in-depth real-life experience of working with many, many organizations of different types and helping them craft their particular service solutions. And then hopefully there'll be lots of good key takeaways and to take away from the session. And as mentioned, we welcome any and all questions, which we will cover at the end. So just starting out with, just to kind of reiterate and reinforce the fact that managed detection and response is a growing market. It's a growing demand. So many organizations have adopted MDR services in recent years, but that has not flatlined yet by any stretch, and the current forecasts are that it's set to grow by an average growth rate of 15% per annum globally in the coming 5 years. So there's still demand. There are still organizations that either have not adopted MDR or are still looking to build it or to grow it or enhance what they're doing in this space. So if anybody on the call is considering, is this something we should, think about? It's certainly the case that many, many of your peers are exactly in the same boat as well. So, what is the challenge ultimately we're trying to solve here? Well, we've got, as we know, an ever-evolving threat landscape, which is a kind of a hackneyed term, but it's just a simple way of clarifying the fact that, whether it's ransomware or insider threats, AI-based attacks, cloud compromise, like that's just a short list there on the left-hand side. That's what we're dealing with: different types of attacks, different types of threat actors, and different types of potential negative consequences we have to deal with, which is why the there is even a cybersecurity market in the first place. But unfortunately, we all no organization has unlimited budget. So yeah, it'd be great if we could get lots of resources and technology and build everything ourselves and put something in place to be all over this on a 24/7 basis. But the reality is there are budget constraints, so we don't have unlimited budget. And also, even if we did, the cyber skills shortage is ever present, not going away anytime soon. We know it's 4 million plus unfilled security vacancies globally, and we all know on a practical day-to-day basis, attracting and retaining cyber skills to do this with the right depth and skill and focus is extremely challenging. And then also we've moved on in recent years, particularly with post-pandemic and the new remote hybrid working world with on-prem and cloud and hybrid type scenarios. The attack surface has just got much, much wider and much more complex to navigate. So with that landscape, the attack surface, the constraints and the resourcing issues, that poses that fundamental challenge, which is how do I, as an organization or a security leader within my organization, effectively detect and respond to threats? And one scenario could be considering your own security operations center to do this monitoring and response. And many organizations historically have invested in SIEM platforms, but as we know, they can be expensive and very often unpredictable in terms of the costs, because very often they're based on metrics that are hard to predict, whether it be daily ingest costs or events or messages per second. So that can mean that budget challenge of really knowing what the spend is. It can be quite difficult. So preferably you would like more predictability and transparency around that side of things. Very often the alerting out of these technologies and tools that you stand up can lack a lot of context. Takes a lot of time to investigate and figure out what's going on. Ideally, you'd prefer alerts with, context and some sort of hypothesis of what's going on and how to respond to it. You can often get flooded with alerts, tens or hundreds, or in some cases, thousands of alerts per day, overwhelming teams, and investing in and being able to tune that so that they're more manageable and only highly relevant and important alerts are coming in is crucial as well. Also, this is quite often neglected and forgotten about, but you might think that you've stood everything up and you're monitoring your entire environment and you're ingesting logs from across your entire estate. But actually, unbeknownst to you, 7 days ago or 6 days ago, one of those sources stopped transmitting. Maybe it a server fell over and wasn't picked up, or maybe some glitch in the network connectivity. But in any case, the fact that you're not getting the visibility, you're flying blind effectively. So log resiliency and consistency monitoring of that telemetry is crucially important as well to consider. And then finally, you have this whole issue where most organizations we see in the and th these are not even small organizations. These can be mid-sized to, sometimes even enterprise size organizations, and don't have massive security teams, and it's really difficult to specialize in everything, and that team has a lot of roles and responsibilities, and so ideally you'd like access to a wider team with more specialist capability, to be provided as needed. The second scenario then, beyond the DIY build it yourself, is to consider outsourcing to an MDR service provider or a security monitoring SOC provider. And again, you have the kind of what we typically see from other providers or many providers is that that they're sending in dozens of alerts per day and expecting the client organization to manage that. So they really got the same problem with the build themselves in that they're getting overwhelmed with things to look at and investigate and respond to. Ideally, you want a manageable volume there. Very often, after subsequent investigation, it turns out that those are false positives or at least not material business impacting alerts. Whereas ideally you would want those fully investigated and only sent if needed. Very often alerts, even from third-party providers, can lack context and be, you know, we'll see this later with some of the recommendations from the likes of Gartner, regurgitating technology outputs without adding any value. So ideally, you know, your preferable situation is to be getting context and hypotheses so you can add recommendations for how to respond, or indeed the actual response being part of the service. Reporting can sometimes be very verbose, again, using kind of automated outputs that aren't really streamlined and not really concise and relevant as they should be. And very often then, you know, if there's a full-blown incident, very often that costs extra, or you're not getting supported during the incident lifecycle itself. So again, the preferable situation is your MDR provider is also supporting on the all types of incidents, minor to major. So what we've seen over the years we've been in the market is this shift to the right in terms of security monitoring and response. So in the quote unquote old days, you had the likes of your managed SOC, your managed SIEM, you had 24/7 monitoring with triage, investigation and reporting and notification. With the advent of this shift to the right, what you're seeing is the service is moving more to more help within the incident lifecycle, away from just the detection side and a bit of analysis, right into much more detailed analysis. Also, more proactive aspects of detection. So not just relying on the technology, but also human-led threat hunting, the inclusion and the leveraging of threat intelligence and other types of forensics information, and then taking response and remediation and supporting on the recovery side. So we're seeing a continuous approach where demand for services is moved from that the left-hand side, more just reactive monitoring and handed over, to much more proactive, getting involved and supporting and taking action on the response side as well. I suppose it's a bit late now to say what is MDR. We've already, you know, several slides in, but I think just to summarize it, because you know, we'll have people on the call, some who are extremely expert in this side of things, and others who are maybe relatively new to it. So MDR is a service to detect and respond to threats that have bypassed your other or traditional defenses. Takes in a lot of data, performs a lot of analytics, correlates that with rich threat intelligence to make sense of the telemetry that's coming in, provides a lot of reporting, and ultimately provides 24/7 monitoring, detection of incidents, whether reactively through technology or proactively through different forms of threat hunting, threat intelligence enrichment, analysis, investigation, hunting, as I said, and then also disrupting and containing, so basically stopping the threat in its tracks. And the reason why that's important is that, you know, we talked about the small teams, limited, you know, often limited skills across all the different areas of the environment. So if your provider can also help with the, you know, the 24/7 aspect of containment, that really puts the organization on the front foot from a risk mitigation perspective, because obviously the quicker you can respond to the threat and stop it and contain it in its tracks, the better placed you are to mitigate the risk involved. There are other types of services that are adjacent, such as exposure management, incident response, which often get included in the service or can be, you know, can be bundled with the service. And often those services can be very complementary with one another as well. So what we're looking at for MDR is a turnkey detection response service through a remote SOC function. And typically there has to be a lot of predefined technology stack brought to the table to enable that turnkey capability. So it's not a case of doing a massive project to try and stand up the service and then performing the detection and the mitigation activities. And this is how security operations has evolved from a maturity perspective. So an organization, in its early days, maybe has no security focus, really isn't collecting logs, isn't centralizing the collection of any of that telemetry, and is not doing any monitoring. At the initial ad hoc stage of maturity, there is some basic centralized log collection and aggregation implemented, but it's not necessarily being monitored proactively from a security perspective. Then we got up to a more defined and repeatable stage where we have our traditional managed SIEM, which provides security monitoring through SIEM and security operations, delivering the threat detection. MDR then moved on from that because it actually actively manages the threats, not just notifying and reporting on them, but also proactively doing detection, as I mentioned before, as well as responding to and containing them. And then if you look at the concept of next generation SOC, the idea being that this, reacting and detecting and responding to threats is only one part of a next generation SOC, but it sits very well within the different aspects of a next generation SOC lifecycle, which includes detection and response, but also you're shifting left and back left again in terms of risk mitigation through continuous exposure management, the dovetailing of threat awareness through threat intelligence, and security validation to see once you detect things that and you resolve them, that you then validate that all those things have been contained. So really, the SOC is delivering a full security lifecycle with integration of the threat management, prevention, detection, and response all together. So what's on the spectrum of different flavors, if you like, because you hear a lot of terms thrown around like EDR, XDR, NDR, MDR, and so on and so forth. So I'll just start by saying that if it doesn't have managed in the title, or M for short, then it's a technology. And then if it's got a managed in it, then it's a service with potentially some underlying technology. So EDR is an endpoint detection and response technology supplied by a variety of vendors. And we've listed some representative vendors on the slide here. XDR goes further, typically further than just endpoint, and starts to look at other domains like network and identity and user behavior analytics, cloud, and looking on a wider basis. And it's really extending out from just a pure endpoint scenario. And then MDR is managed detection and response. So if you think about MDR, it doesn't dictate what is the underlying technology. It just said that there is managed detection and response, and it's really what's underlying it that will determine the nature and shape of the service. So if you've got a managed EDR service, then really it's a turnkey MDR service delivering on inbuilt endpoint detection and response capabilities. If you've got a managed XDR service, then it's a standalone MDR service, but it's delivered using a single vendor XDR platform, because the whole idea of XDR, which stands for Extended Detection and Response, is that it's a single integrated platform from a single vendor. So you get the simplicity and commercial efficiencies of a single vendor platform, but it still has a much wider scope than just the endpoint. So it goes way further than just endpoint. And again, we've put in some representative vendors, whether it's Rapid7, Microsoft, and actually many of the endpoint vendors also extend their solutions into XDR as well. Then you have the likes of turnkey MDR. This is where you actually have a service provider that also has an extensive platform that replaces the need for the client to have their own platform. So we call that a turnkey MDR service based on a proprietary in-house developed platform. So we've taken the liberty of, as one of the representative vendors, to put our own turnkey MDR service in here, which is CyberFire MDR. So basically, if you think about it, it's a platform that ingests all the logs into the platform that's inbuilt into the service, and has all of the, the detection engineering and all of the, automation and customer portal and everything built into it, so that you don't have to procure that separately as part of your own investment and your own estate. However, You've also got the concept then of an open XDR, which is integrates and operates an MDR service across multiple third-party vendor technology. So typically in an open vendor XDR, the customer may have a same platform that is being managed and monitored under the service. So again, representative vendors could be the likes of Splunk or Microsoft Sentinel. And you could have one of a number of EDR platforms in there. Also NDR, network detection and response, like Darktrace, Vectra. And we can add here, you know, there's an avalanche coming of different DR technologies now. There's IDR, there's DDR, there's CDR. So these could all be underlying an open XDR service and wrapping a kind of unified service across a multiple platform stack that the customer has within their environment. So as you can see, Nick is now going to go in a moment go into some of the pros and cons of these different flavors, if you like. But as you can see on the left-hand two, you're typically talking about a converged platform, whereas on the right side, you're talking about a multi-platform, particularly as like even the turnkey MDR integrates into the full estate within the customer environment. So you've got the simplicity of an integrated suite on the left-hand side, but the power of best-in-breed integration on the right-hand side. So that's the kind of top level, and so I hope that was useful. And now I'll hand over to Nick to go into some more details on the spectrum.
Thank you, Brian. You move on to so let's try and color some of these four topics in terms of real life applicableness. I made that word up, but ultimately, the theme between these four types of capabilities will the trend between them will depend on budget. It will depend on board risk appetite is a common theme through these, and I'm going to go to bottom to top on each of these. And let's just start with EDR and management of EDR. What is key decision criteria for EDR? Well, for the there is no decision for EDR. Endpoint detection response is an absolute must in all organizations. If you grow on from this to more sophisticated levels of service, great. But you absolutely must begin with an EDR journey. Endpoint protection, EPP, is simply not enough in organizations today. If you look at Red Canary and the top 10 detections, sorry, techniques that are utilized by adversaries, an EDR technology will catch seven of those top 10 techniques. So there is no decision when it comes to EDR. I'm later going to come into considerations around what you should be looking for within your service provider, but ultimately, every organization should be looking at EDR. It does depend on your organizational size and complexity about how far you may take this journey. You may be a fairly simplistic set up by way of you may be simply laptops, desktops, servers, and therefore EDR would make an awful lot of sense. It's where other sort of elements start to come into play, such as cloud, third-party products and things that may trigger the need to consider the next level up, essentially. But it definitely depends on your organizational size and complexity. I would be reluctant to say small equals EDR and medium equals something else, because you could be quite large as an organization, but ultimately simple in how you operate. Therefore, again, EDR could actually kind of crack a lot of the problems with your organization. Endpoint versus non-endpoint coverage should be considered. As I mentioned, if you're a fully heavy endpoint organization, it definitely makes sense that would be the obvious choice. It's just about where you go from there. But one of the downsides, obviously, is defense in depth is important. It's always be nice to layer on additional layers of technology to catch the things that slip between the net. And as I mentioned, risk appetite, board risk appetite, and budget to fund that risk appetite are absolutely crucial as to whether you can level up or get on to the next level, essentially, of cybersecurity maturity. What are the pros? Well, as I mentioned, it thwarts most attacks, most common attacks in an organization. Don't get me wrong, there are caveats to that as well, in terms of slow and low behavior. The other three of the top 10 most common techniques, two of them are email security related and one is cloud related. So you would argue that probably EDR, well, it's definitely EDR wouldn't catch the email security, but may potentially, depending on the catch the cloud one. So just it thwarts most common attacks. Most organizations are endpoint heavy. Integrity 360 are endpoint heavy. We have an EDR product in place essentially, but we've obviously gone on to the more sophisticated levels beyond that. It's cost effective. EDR is a commodity product. I'm sorry for anyone that to offend any vendors out there. EDR is a commodity product. Why is that good for consumers? Well, it can drive the price down. You can get top right Gartner products at good prices, and ultimately, there is very little between those types of products within the top right space. It's rapid time to value. If you've got the tools to deploy these types of technology, sorry, you've got the management tools to support the deployment of these types of technology, it is rapid to deploy in days at scale, essentially. Single vendor platform. Anything that's single is generally going to be equal some sort of simplicity to manage and support. So it's also a massive benefit as well. And of course, comes with inbuilt protection and detections, but also the support from the vendor in terms of, and the MSP as well, in terms of knowing how to deploy these, having 4 to 1,000 battles, they will know the best tuned policies for different organizations. So it can be good, easy to configure and get those to get that value out. Some of the cons, obviously, invertly, it's an endpoint detection response tool, so therefore lack of visibility is going to be a problem. Lack of defense in depth, by virtue of one product, and lack of log retention visibility, as well as lack of customization. So EDR level one, I guess, but may suit your need. Brian, if you could just move on for me, please, sir. Moving on to the managed XDR, where is XDR the right solution and management of the right choice for you? If, again, organizational size and complexity, risk appetite, board risk appetite, and how they fund that budget, how they fund that risk appetite for you to consider how you go on from there. Now, the key for this is that the background of most EDR vendors have moved into XDR spaces. It's not exclusively that way. Some of the represented vendors on that, on you'll see in the left-hand side there, have came from completely different directions. One's came from a vulnerability management beginning in its journey. But it may be a consideration to say, well, I've got pre-existing investment within my EDR capability, and it's quite likely that those EDR platforms have now evolved into full XDR capabilities. Bottom two on the representative vendors, there are really classic examples of that. Also, I think it'd be crazy not to mention the elephant in the room in terms of Microsoft. Microsoft is ultimately, quite a dominator in this particular space, and has the capabilities in terms of that XDR advanced capabilities within its technology stack. Again, I think so. Ultimately, in selecting single vendors, it can come with again the same sort of defense in depth type problems. Ultimately, you're invested in single products. Some of the pros, obviously, rapid time to deploy, rapid time to value, rapid time to deploy. Again, it relies on some of the same tooling to get some of these products out into your threat lands, into your environment, so can be deployed really quickly. It can be relatively cost effective and predictable, because ultimately you know what you are buying into. Now, there is a little caveat to that, to say that classic example there, Microsoft Defender XDR is predictable until you add on Sentinel, and then it can become variable potentially or based on ingestion. So there's a little caveat to that. Again, single vendor platforms can equal simplicity to manage, which and these XDR platforms tend to come with the inbuilt, well, they do, they come with inbuilt protection and detection capabilities, as well as a huge marketplace of third party connectors to be able to support those that, well, funnily enough, the third party type vendors, the firewall type capabilities. To extend the visibility beyond the native detections. Some of the cons within that the XDR space can be lack of customization, but I would say as an observer in that space that is becoming less and less so customized. These vendors are closing that gap and actually are accelerating the ability to provide more customized type searchability and XDR platforms. Again, as I mentioned, defense in depth can be an issue. Possible weak spots versus best in breed. Well, what we mean by that is that you could some products, as I mentioned there, that came from different backgrounds and therefore maybe slightly weaker in other areas that they've evolved into to claim XDR status. So it's always worth just investigating what the sort of background of these products and therefore poking around the areas that they may perceive to be weaker in. And of course, lack of XDR standards, XDR can still sort of mean different things. And some people are grasping at XDR services, but actually under the hood, they're far from true XDR services. So look, again, to put a scale on it, it's difficult. We certainly service huge organizations that are Microsoft centric, Rapid7 centric, and things like that. So it's difficult to say that small, medium equals XDR. It's absolutely not true. It really depends on that risk appetite, budget that's going to support your maturity. If you could just move on for me, Brian, to the next one, please. Moving into the turnkey situation, to turnkey MDR services, again, really about the need to achieve high levels of detection capabilities without actually being too concerned about vendor selection. You're actually the ultimate purpose of this is your focus is around outcomes you want to achieve. A situation whereby you've got the right logs going into a platform with known proven detections, with known proven triage and investigation process, with proven meantime, with proven response times. Ultimately, this becomes more of an outcomes decision whereby you're less precious about the actual tech underlying technology choices that you're making. That's the sort of crucial decision factor that I would put around turnkey MDR type solutions. And with turnkey MDR solutions, they can be very, very quick to deploy. And the pricing model again can in the same vein as XDR type platform can be far more predictable. You're not necessarily going into consumption-based models. You are able to know what you're signing up to, and there'll be no hidden costs beyond that. Satisfaction with pre-existing investments can be a deciding factor on a turnkey MDR versus what will be the next slide, which will be Open XDR. If your SIEM is not working for you, it is expensive, it is bloated, it is noisy. Turnkey MDR could well be a decision point it could be the right decision for you. Again, budget, all again, the common theme here, budget is a key consideration regarding these types of technology, but turnkey MDR often comes at a much more cost-effective price point. Things to consider, some of the pros to that are rapid time to value, again, cost effectiveness, as I mentioned, reduced vendor complexity. Ultimately, you're focused on outcomes, not on the actual complexity of being inserting yourself into the technology choices. Reduced staff skills and burden. Ultimately, you're making it the provider's problem to support and service your detection and response needs. Now, the cons to that can be that it doesn't replace necessarily The need for some technologies such as EDR technologies, they can actually help fuel the MDR technologies and also help with their response actions in there as well. And sometimes you may consider these not necessarily to be highly customizable, but again, I would say that there is movement in that space with even turnkey MDR vendors to actually close that gap and offer more customized type capabilities. Right, so open, you predicted me that. Moving on to the sort of perceived holy grail, but comes with consequences and considerations, the open XDR type MDR capability. this would be perhaps, I think that the previous three I wouldn't necessarily attach to a size of organization necessarily, but I probably would categorize your open XDRs more in your enterprise scale organizations, ones that have probably got pre-existing investments in existing technology and are actually looking for a way in which to maybe in an ideal world, they would look to want to go to some sort of single XDR type architecture. And on the face of it, they may perceive to be ch cheaper alternatives to an open XDR type approach, but actually the cost of change in enterprise organization can often remove that idea and that vision to move towards a single XDR. So where we tend to see open XDRs is definitely in the enterprise. I definitely see this an awful lot in financial institutes, insurance institutes, just large retail organizations and so on. And it is where they've got those existing technologies in place. It is whereby they're looking for someone to ultimately come in and augment to those existing technologies. Again, budget is key for this. Open XDR does not come at an EDR type price point. So again, ultimately risk appetite and budget must be able to fund an open XDR type service offering. I think, as I mentioned, that in terms of the by virtue of needing to turnkey into existing technologies, third-party platform support is obviously key. So you need to obviously scrutinize those MSPs to what their capabilities are in support and the actual native platform, as well as being able to plug together the alerts at the service level. Core management support obviously can be quite key as well. Customers sometimes want to remain certain hands-on within technologies, but also rely on the 24/7 365 of MSPs to actually re respond on their behalf during out of hours and things like that. Pros to this, best in breed support. So ultimately, you're able to pick and choose your technologies or work with the MSP to select the best of breed technology, but you can unify them under one service wrap. An open XDR can support existing investment while providing a heuristic service visibility, ultimately able to provide a humongous the statewide visibility of your organization. Cons to that, multi-vendor complexity. Again, by virtue, you need some way of bringing together multiple technologies at one service wrap. And also pricing models, this is a more premium end service when it comes to these types of technologies and services. Brian, if you just move on to, so regardless of the choice of service that you are looking at, EDR, XDR, the XDR, Open XDR, Turnkey, MDR services, what is absolutely key and what I would strongly encourage customers that are considering their detection response journey and their managed detection response journey, what I would strongly consider is when choosing a detection and response provider, you ask hard questions in each of these particular areas. In the interest of time, I'll try to blast around these quite quickly. But first and foremost, you absolutely should be commanding a 24/7 365 service, but you should be asking questions around the crude nature of that SOC. It should be fully should be fully manned as a SOC in and out of hours. It should come with proven whatever service the provider that you choose. It should come with proven quick time to value. Referenceability is key. Ask questions around referenceability in deploying these technologies and seek referenceability from other customers that MSPs have worked with in your area. Meantime to detection, triage, and response performance, seek information on the levels of performance that your MSP is actually achieving. predictability. There should be no surprise costs in what you're actually signing up to as it from an organization. Make sure that there are no hidden costs beyond your bottom line price that you're actually signing up to. Proactive threat hunting should come as standard in any service, any managed detection response service that you sign up to. There should be threat intelligence led, but it should also, Brian touched about the next gen SOC cycle there. It should also be a robust process about how they feed in exposure information to proactively mitigate risk in your organization, thus reducing your risk and actually reducing the service providers, the noise on the service provider for dealing with alerts as well, because we've actually closed off exposures in the first, at the very beginning before they became exploited. Ask questions around the service architecture approach if you are anything higher than when it comes to the open XDR, probably is where I would say to ask close questions around the service architecture approach. What I mean by that is EDR technologies, NDR technologies, other detection response technologies that Brian just alluded to earlier on are alert generating things. They are processing telemetry, they are doing meaningful things with logs, and they are determining that there is an alert. It doesn't make architecture, service architecture sense to send an EDR product via a SIEM product. It dilutes, technically dilutes the quality of what an EDR technology is actually achieving. It may even actually add delayed alert. It may actually add lag to the service alerts hitting the actual service provider, because some EDRs can have a release on logs to hit SIEMs. It's not necessarily streamed in real time. So look closely at the service architecture approach. I would expect to see where multiple technologies have been pinned together, a saw in the middle of that, helping to group together alerts from different products into categories, so that we can see chronologically what's happened between those across those products in a timeline fashion. But importantly, they should be highly tuned as well. So specifically, we're going to zoom in on that's a SIEM thing. Specifically, if SIEMs are part of your solution, they should be highly tuned to maximize return investment. As I mentioned, should be no bloated log sources going into your SIEM. There should be no log sources going in that don't provide security value. If you say, "Well, hang on, I've got payments compliance requirements that drive me to need to log things," SIEM isn't necessarily always the answer. It should be used for security use cases. There are other ways and means to serve application monitoring and logging. So make sure that the SIEM, their approach to addressing SIEM type capabilities actually does apply a judicious approach to log collection, that it actually links to something tangible that we can all measure success and failure against. Specifically, what I'm talking about there is something like MITRE ATT&CK and their framework, log sources that provide a value for tactics, techniques, and procedures. Should be put into SIEM. Log sources that do not should not be put into SIEM, and we should consider alternative approaches or cheaper alternatives for that. Your service shouldn't also stand still. You should be asking close questions about what the evolution looks like. So continuous security advisory and evolution within your service, it should not stand still. And specifically, I'm going to link that to the bottom row here, left to right, the tactical use case detections. You should receive tactical use case detections for your, particularly in that higher end service offering, whereby they have a long list of detections. And again, it is proven to detect things, mapping those against the MITRE ATT&CK framework. But really importantly, organizations and businesses today exist for a reason. We may have something, yes, you may be common like everyone else in terms of desktops, laptops, Windows devices, servers, but you exist for a reason. That means you've got something unique in your organization. You may have some unique applications that you potentially need to look for tactics, technique, and procedure adversary use in your organization. So make sure that also that they have a story for how they can support you on proprietary use case detections, as well as the everyday tactics, techniques, and procedures. Make sure that they have a process for detecting use, sorry, for validating those use cases as well, but a proven process for testing those use cases. Make sure that you have visibility on those use cases as well, within that organization. And also, integrated major incident response should come as standard to those services. And just the middle row along that you're looking at there is ultimately look closely at the people, process, and technologies and how they interlock with each other. Specifically, as I mentioned earlier, that the right technologies have been chosen, but and tuned accordingly, but also been connected together with some sort of efficient tool. And specifically, there I'm talking about SOAR that helps accelerate detection and response processes for the people to deal with, for the security analysts to deal with, rather than have to be inserted into the noise. That's why things like SOAR can be there to help. You can just click on for me, Brian. But don't take my word for it. You can build that out, please, Brian, in the interest of time. Don't take our word for it. Obviously, Gartner also makes its own recommendations about what you should be looking for. And much is the same theme across some of the call-outs that I've made on the previous slide. Make sure you've got 24/7 fully manned services. Assess the provider's integration with you and the containment. I didn't actually touch on that, but ultimately, it makes sure that ultimately they're prepared to build response and containment actions around your business needs and what actually works for you, but also that they're also able to give report reporting that applies to your regulations. Prepare business-centric response workflows. So again, something that works for you as a business and organization, not just something that you've got to be inserted into an MSP's process. Validate alignment with must-have business requirements. And determine delivers actionable findings that you can be reacted to in-house versus regurgitated technological outputs. And what I mean by that is actually that they're adding value to the alerts that are coming. They are actually triaging and investigating the alerts that are being grouped together at service level. I've just had to speed up a little bit there, Brian, but in terms of conclusions and takeaways, Brian, do you want to do this? Should I complete?
Sure, yeah, I can take it. Yeah,
Awesome. Yeah.
maybe just for a variety, if nothing else.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, so I think in summary, between the content that I covered and Nick going into a lot more detail, consider where on that MDR spectrum you want to sit, and it is that choice between simple single solution versus right up to and including best in breed suite and everything in between. And there are lots of considerations and pros and cons that we've covered in detail. And do you want, to get a service coming with a platform, or do you want to overlay an MDR service on some pre-existing investments you've already made? We found both cases. We found cases where organizations and customers want the simplicity of the platform comes with the service, or that it's almost they're standing up an integrated solution as part of the service. And we've had many examples where the customer has a deep history with a particular EDR, NDR, SIEM platforms, and it's a mix and match situation, and they really want someone who can provide that unified service capability around it. So that's a really important consideration to think about as part of this journey. Beware of services that just throw alerts from technology over the wall with no added analysis or value. Believe it or not, there's still some out there. So just be careful of that particular issue. And yeah, understand what your requirements are. So where do you want coverage, and do you want defense in depth, and what are the key use cases that you think represent the most risk to your business, and make sure that the solution and service you're getting can actually meet all of those, and also integrate into your processes and your organization. Like, do you have people who can take action around the clock? Do you want the provider to take action on your behalf, and will they have the facility to do that, and in which cases? Make sure that whether it's through a tender or through detailed engagement, make sure your chosen provider can meet all those requirements. And also ensure, it can all look great on paper, and there can be lots of glitzy brochures and presentations and whatnot, but ultimately the bread and butter of MDR is detection. It's around detecting threats quickly and responding to them quickly. So if it's all nice and shiny with lovely reports and interfaces, but it's actually not that great at detecting threats and keeping current with the new and latest threats that are evolving, then unfortunately it's not going to deliver that risk reduction you need. So make sure you really understand the detection coverage and capability and the fact that it won't just stand still and be frozen in time for the duration of the contract, but will actually evolve and improve and keep up to date along the way as well. And with that, I think we're finished the main presentation. We still have a few minutes left to take any questions anybody might have.
There's one, I think we might both have views on these, Brian. There's one just came in. Some EDR vendors also advertise MDR. Is that true? MDR or more managing the alerts from an EDR tool and one or two other sources? I can picture that particular vendor. So far, I'm not going to throw any mud. Do you have a view on that, Brian? I have.
Generally speaking, I found two things. If you have a managed EDR service, like for example, from us, we don't just look at the alerts coming in. We also manage the platform, we tune it, we configure it, we make sure it's working, and we do add moves, changes, updates, keep it current, etc. And then we also do the whole investigation, triage, and response. Generally, what you find from the vendors is it's very much like the vendors typically have thousands of customers, and they're very light touch service wrap that they put on top of the service using a lot of automation. So generally, they won't do the platform management, so you'll still have to manage it yourself. And then secondly, it's generally focused on their technology. So like many of these platforms are evolving into XDR, and they will have add-on modules where you can potentially integrate into other third-party platforms as well. But what you'll find is their main focus is on their own technology and not a wider concern for the entirety of the estate.
I just don't want that, Brian, if that's okay. We're seeing commonly we'll integrate with Microsoft as well and manage those alerts. That's a really common theme. You're not getting platform management of the Microsoft capability, but also say the key detail in that particular question was one or two other sources. If you want visibility across multiple sources, you want to be looking more towards an open XDR. MDR type capability or a turnkey MDR type capability as well, perhaps leveraging the EDR for response actions. But I would just say it is absolutely not a true MDR. It is a form of managed EDR, and as you say, taking in the alerts from those third party with no platform management of them. So yeah, I'd agree completely, Brian, on that. See that we agreed on this, Brian. This is good. See, we agree on the next one.
I'm not sure.
go on.
Yeah, this could be a healthy debate. So, will managed XDR replace open XDR type services in the future?
Shall I go first?
You go first, and then I'll correct you.
I think we're in. I absolutely think the speed of some XDR vendors on the marketplace has been phenomenal. I've seen vast improvements of some XDR technologies that are moving into SIEM spaces and doing an exceptional job at that. 3 years ago, I would have said it's absolutely no chance, no cap, no way is it going to reach to that. I think it's an interesting space. I do think that more platform play will start to exist in the market and be taken up by customers. So I think it's moving in that direction, perhaps not fully replaced. That's my view, Brian. I'll give you.
So you anticipated my response then. No, I would tend to agree that it's definitely a trend. We're seeing more and more. We're seeing so many customers coming to us now saying, "I just can't deal with this security vendor sprawl. They're suffering from security vendor fatigue, and managing all that complexity." The same issues around budget and skills is equally applicable in the space of managing multiple platforms. So there's definitely a drive, and the industry has caught on to this idea of consolidating platforms. So we definitely will see that to continue, and therefore also a demand for managed service providers to wrap MDR capability around those platforms. However, I don't see it entirely disappearing. I think it's always going to be the case that organizations will have either pre-existing investments or desire for best in breed across all components of their detection and response stack, and that new domains of coverage as well are evolving, whether it's CDR, IDR, DDR, like pick your DR of choice, and just going to be evolving technology, and they won't make their way into all of the XDR platforms overnight. And also, as we said earlier, everybody's definition of XDR is different anyway. So I
And
think
that
if
cost of change, isn't it, as well? As you say, yeah, I do agree with that. It's the cost to unpick as well. Even if the XDR capability was able to do all of those things, IDR, CDR, and more, these are often in large organizations, and that's going to be a factor. I do tend to agree, Brian. Yeah, look, we did meet in the middle there again somewhere. That was nice. There's a question on Scattered Spider. I'll take this, Brian. How do we ensure MDR providers protect us from attacks like Scattered Spider on M&S or SIM? That's a broader question. Okay, so I'm going to broaden that question. Sorry, I mentioned earlier about scrutinizing service providers on what their approach is to threat detection use cases, what their approach is to bringing in the right log sources that provide the right threat detection efficacy. And it should be more of a question around what are they measuring against, how do they measure something is good and bad. And particularly, again, I'm referring back there as a common framework that we use, which is the MITRE ATT&CK framework. If we are able to provide effective coverage across the tactics, techniques, and procedures of MITRE ATT&CK, and we have a good evolution story, which Brian alluded to, that's what we should be looking at. It should be less about specific threat actors and more about what our overall process is for dealing with those particular situations. In the situation of Scattered Spider, what you should also be looking for is firstly, obviously, the reaction and the ability to obviously perform threat hunts in your organization. Because so we have a dedicated threat content development team which look at the look to analyze and search for the IOC, identify what IOCs, IOAs they should be looking for, and obviously that flows into our threat hunting team. So in that instance, they should be also looking at how quickly they're able to respond and react and get published accurate publications out. It's really important not just to launch publications out that haven't been verified, because that can do more harm than good, but really verified information. But then also how quickly they can move into a formal new or evolved use case detection as well. So it's a really interesting question, and it tests a lot of the processes around true managed detection response service providers about how effective they can be react under pressure. Sorry, Ryan, I like that question.
Yeah, no, I love it too. It's a great question. And it goes back to, as you said, threat actors are renowned for using particular, techniques in advance of their tactics in order to achieve their malicious goals. And so the combination of understanding the does your provider have good threat intelligence so that they can to have that information around threat actor profiles and what they're targeting, so that they can be relevant in terms of detections for your particular scenario, whether it's industry vertical, geographic footprint, and technology footprint, etc. And that they've got the right detection coverage for all the relevant techniques and tactics as well. And I think if you've got that, and someone who's going to guarantee to evolve it throughout the life cycle of the service, so that doesn't stand still. Because as we know, all these techniques and threat actors change over time, then I think you should be in a good place.
Yeah.
I think we're getting note here. It's probably time to wrap up. We're up on time. So maybe just to finish off with a couple of upcoming webinars on the OT security next week, as well as more information around Microsoft security in conjunction with one of our partners, and also threat-led penetration testing coming up later in June. So you can register to any and all of these by following the QR code or going to our website. So Nick, any last words from yourself?
No, I need to open a window, but me walking off camera because it's absolutely boiling up here. So, yeah. Thank you, everybody. And have a great rest of day. And yeah, we'll see you again next week, hopefully.
Thanks, everyone. Bye bye. Have a
You
great
too.
afternoon.
Bye bye.